Good morning.
Good morning.
Ah, the joy of the Lord is my strength this morning. How are you doing this morning? What a wonderful opportunity. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord. I'm just happy to be here. I am grateful for the invitation to be here to worship with you this morning, and I hope you come to give the Lord worship and to give him praise, but you've also come to hear a word from him. What an awesome opportunity that we have, that we can still hear a word from the Lord. And so I'm just grateful to be here. It's been, I think the last time I've had the opportunity to visit you here at this church, when my good friend and mentor, Madge Campbell, died some years ago. She was funeralized here, and I had the opportunity to provide support to the family then. I don't think I've been back since that time, but of course, as I walked in this morning, it just reminded me of my friend Madge all over again, and I'm just looking forward to seeing Madge again in the Earth Made New. My family is just... I'm just getting back at the beginning of the week from burying my oldest sister down in Savannah, Georgia. There are nine of us. There are nine children, and she is the first to leave us. And we weren't ready for that, of course. And it really brings... It's one thing when you lose a parent, but it becomes very close to you when you lose a sibling, because that's in your category. That's where you exist. And you wonder, you say, well, who's going to be next, or what's going on with this? But you know, the enemy, I don't know where you've been, but we're in warfare. We are in warfare. At the time that my sister was entering death, my brother was in another hospital in the same city undergoing surgery. You know, the enemy doesn't care. He doesn't care if you're losing a sister. He doesn't care if your brother is ill. He's about doing what he needs to do in order that he can burn for less of you. And I've made my determination that he's going to burn for me. Because I'm not going to burn for myself. He's going to burn for me because of the blood of Jesus, because of his grace and his mercy. You know, I have an opportunity not to burn. So I've ascribed my burning process over to the enemy. By God's grace, nothing is going to deter me from staying in Jesus. Hallelujah. Nothing. Hallelujah. And that's what it's going to take in these last and evil days. So I just want to say I'm happy to be here. Of course, the Stoddards I've known enough years. And of course, my good friend Martha, who invited me here, who I think we had the opportunity to fellowship at the Women's Ministries retreat, and that still has affected me in my life. You know, you get an opportunity to minister, but ministry should do something for you. It should start with you. And so that experience I had with the New Jersey women, I think it was in New York, was just awesome, and I'm still growing in grace as a result of that. So God has a message for us this morning. So let's hear what God has to say. Can you join me in prayer? Father God, it's not by might, nor by power, but it's by your Spirit. We just thank you for the opportunity to be here. Now, Lord, all I ask simply, in the prayer earlier, I was referred to as servant. Lord, I take that seriously. So show me how to serve. Show me what to do and give me the words to say. But Lord, it's not just about worship and relationship with you. It's not spectator. It's exchange. And so, Father, I want more than your spirit to speak through me. Lord, I want my fellow worshipers to be also in the spirit, Father, so that they can receive what they hear. And we all be changed. Because you've done it before in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. You've changed people. Change us here. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. Just want to say happy Mother's Day to all who play the role. And the role isn't necessarily what you do in the delivery room of a hospital. But many of us play the role of mother. And where it counts is outside of that delivery room. That's where the motherhood really is implemented. So I'd like to say happy Mother's Day to all my sisters who are here, whose lives influence. Because we're influencers, women. You know, we influence others. Our daughters watch us. Other folks' daughters watch us. We're on parade. And so I want to salute you this morning. We're talking about being determined, bold, and persevering. There are many great examples of women in the Bible. There are examples of mothers in the Bible. And I love to read the Bible about these women. I love the picture of the mother of Moses, who cared so much for her son that she took a big risk to keep him alive. That's motherhood in action. She was bold. She was persistent. She was going to use what she had to preserve the life of her son. We see the sacrificial love of the mother who appeared before King Solomon. And she told Solomon that she was willing to give up her son in order to preserve his life. That's bold. That's persistent. And we're talking about bold and persevering women this morning. Oh, let's look at the mother of James and John, who, like some of us, love our sons so much that we want them to sit by the Lord's side in the heavenly kingdom. And you know, that was a bit much. She really wanted them to be in charge. She wanted them to be leaders. But you know, she wanted them to be up front. But even though you may have issues with the fact that she was ambitious for them, she wanted them in the kingdom. Her desire was for her sons to be in the kingdom. She was one bold and persistent mother, wasn't she? Even though what she was asking for was impossible, she still wanted the very best for her sons, for her boys. And so she was willing to ask for the impossible. That's where she had it over us. You know, we tend to want to see the picture before we ask. We want to make sure that it's possible for it to be accomplished before we ask. And then there are some like me. She talked about my son, who may have preached here a couple of years ago. I didn't even have the ambition for him. You know what? I think I was, pastor, I think I was willing to accept whatever the Lord gave me as long as he stayed out of trouble. So you have to give this woman some credit. She had some desire for her son. And what is for her sons? And what it tells us is that God has a design for our children, and maybe part of the problem is we haven't asked for any success for them. When you raised your child, were you imagining that you had the way you responded to them, the way you were raising them, the way you were educating them, the way you were feeding them, that you were feeding someone who would someday become great, that you were possibly feeding a Martin Luther King, that you were possibly feeding or raising a Barack Obama, that you were possibly feeding or raising a C.D. Brooks? When we imagine in our minds that we're raising our children to fill a position for God, whatever that might be, you will respond to them differently. I had a persistent mother. She was a woman of faith. I'll never forget. She put me on that train as a youth, living in Savannah, Georgia, sent me to Pine Forge Academy, put me on that train, had never seen Pine Forge a day in her life, did not know the people who were running the school, but the fact that it said Seventh-day Adventist, that was all right with her. Then, to take that a step further, she knew what the tuition cost. The tuition for me to go to Pine Forge back in those days, Pastor, was more than what my mother made a month. The monthly tuition was more than what she earned, but it didn't stop her. She put me on the train. You know why? Because the promises of God was the tuition.
Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
The promises of God, she could depend on that. And then it continued over to when I went to college, put me on a bus all the way from Denver, Colorado, all the way to San Francisco, to Pacific Union College. She'd never been to California. Sent me on out there. She didn't know where the money was coming from. Persistent. Bold, understanding and believing that what God says, God will do. Then, of course, there's another persistent mother whose scripture that we will look at this morning, and that's found in Matthew chapter 15. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to take your Bibles out. That's Matthew chapter 15. There's one persistent mother with a sick child in the Bible. This mother was on a mission. That's Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. This mother was on a mission. She was seeking help for a sick child. She wasn't looking for a bottle of medicine. She wasn't looking for the best hospital back in the day. She wasn't looking for something that would just ease his suffering. She was looking for a cure. I want it over. I want it taken care of. She was in search of healing for her daughter. So in verse 21 it says, "Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon." So Jesus went there on purpose. He went to this area on purpose because he knew the longing and the desire in this woman's heart. Has Jesus come to your place on purpose? Because he knows the longing and desires of your heart. Have you beckoned him where you are that he has to go out? He's going out of his way because his child down there in New Jersey needs him. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to Jesus saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon possessed." Severely demon possessed. "Have mercy on me." She didn't come haughty. She didn't come like she was entitled. "Well, you know, Lord, I've got a PhD in psychology. Or I've got my MD from here and there. Or I've got this much money in my bank account. Or I'm superintendent of the Sabbath school at the Church of the Oranges." She didn't come haughty. She came dependent. Even before she told him what she wanted, she first said, "Have mercy on me." Because you don't even have to listen to me. You don't even have to be in my company. So have mercy on me. My daughter is severely demon possessed. That's saying a whole lot, folk. My sister prayed up here for our young adults. She prayed this morning for them. She says she's got a burden for them. Do we have a burden for them? And you know what? Sometimes our burdens came a little bit late. As parents, we grew up with burdens for our children to be educated. We had burdens for our children to be dressed like the other children. We had burdens for our children to eat the finest foods. But this mother had a burden for her daughter because her daughter was demon possessed. Now I have a confession. You have some idea of this from what I said. But when I said my mother didn't make the money that my tuition cost, what that implied that we were very poor. No, we were poor. We were poor. But what my mother could not provide for us materially, she took the time to provide for us in building of character.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
She coveted character for us. So this woman, who knows what happened? Maybe her daughter hung around with the wrong crowd. Maybe her daughter got involved in witchcraft or something. Who knows? The story is not told to us. But even though she was a Canaanite woman, which means that she was not of the house of Israel, it sounds like this woman knew God. Because she wasn't satisfied with the devil.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So she came looking for Jesus to free her daughter. Daughter, demon possessed. Now, I don't care whether or not your children are running around, foaming at the mouth, or doing something silly. Some of our children are demon possessed. Drugs is another demon. Demon possessed only means that somebody else controls their life other than Jesus. That's demon-possessed, where their minds are focused on something else other than Jesus. You know, what we missed as parents is understanding that training our children and bringing our children up so that they would be partakers and participants in the kingdom of God. Occupations, no matter what occupation they have or what training they got, they were training to be servants in the kingdom of God. Even if they work as doctors, even if they work as school teachers, even if they work as lab technicians, those occupations are only tools to be used in the kingdom of God. When you understand that, then your approach to parenting is different. So the woman said, hey, my daughter's severely demon-possessed. Watch Jesus' reaction, because this mother's desperate. She's desperate. It's like a mother who sees her son strung out on drugs or on alcohol or something where he's wasting his life, or your son or daughter finds themselves incarcerated. You come desperate. But what does the Bible say in verse 23? It says, Jesus answered not a word.
No word.
Some of us find ourselves like that. We've been praying for our children. We've been praying for our spouse. We've been praying for our sisters or brothers or mamas or daddies. And it seems like God is answering not a word. That's the way it looks. It appears to you that he is just dead silent and he's ignoring you. Now, I don't like to be ignored, especially from people who should respond to me. I don't like being ignored. But Jesus didn't respond to her. She said it right. She said, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. She acknowledged who he was. And then she got to the heart of the matter. My daughter is demon possessed. And Jesus was silent. Most of us would have grabbed our bags and we would have left. You ain't ignoring me. You're not going to ignore me. I have a need. I went to the pastor about such and such, and I haven't heard back from the pastor. So I'm leaving that church. I'm going somewhere else. I'm going cross town because I haven't heard from the pastor.
Mercy, help the pastor. Lord.
Then the disciples got in it. They said, send her away, Lord, because she's been pestering us. She cries after us. Send her away. But they misunderstood Jesus' mission. They misunderstood what Jesus was trying to do. Like we misunderstand when it seems like somebody's down and out and they go from one trial to another. They seem to always need something. They seem to always want something. We see that and we say, oh, she's just, something wrong with her. But you know what? I can't get into it this morning, but God has something called a waiting period.
Yes, Lord.
We don't understand God's waiting period. We don't want no waiting period. We want to get to the heart of the matter and get it over with. But you know what? Jesus is always about salvation. He's not just about fixing the remedy or fixing it right now. He's about what's happening in the process. That's why the Christian life is a journey. It's not just a destination.
Yes, Lord.
It's a journey.
Yes, it is.
So they say, send her away. She cries after us. You know, that's sister so-and-so-and-so. You know, she always has a problem. You know, when the week of prayer speaker comes and asks for people who want to talk to the to the speaker. She's always there. She always has a problem. Don't pay any attention to her. And then Jesus responds in verse 24. And he says, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In other words, I want to help you. You're a Canaanite. But my mission, I came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, there was a lot being said in that statement. What he's saying is, I came to get the Seventh-day Adventist women ready so that they themselves can minister to you. I came specifically to get my people ready to minister to you. That's what he was saying to her. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he wanted to remind her, that's my mission. Did she run away? Seemed like by now she'd have said, oh, he's not here for me. He's here for the Israelites. He's here for the Jews. But look at verse 25. Instead of moaning and groaning and complaining, she came and she worshiped him. She worshiped him. We're talking about bold, determined, and persevering. That's what we're talking about. Even after he said, I didn't come to help you. I didn't come. My mission was not to you. I chose a people that I ordained to take my message to the whole world. That's what he was telling her. This is my mission. This is my mission statement. And I have my question to you, Church of the Oranges, the Oranges, East Orange, South Orange, West Orange. Do they know your mission? Are you about your mission? Do you have a targeted or a targeted group? That's all he was saying. I have a targeted group. But in spite of that, she came and worshiped him saying, Lord, help me. You're not going to dismiss me like that. I'm not going away until I get what I came for. But you know what? The enemy has deceived us. The enemy has convinced us that when we have a problem, that when we're going through trials and tribulations and all of that, that that is the time to retreat. That is the time to give up. But that is not. I talked about a waiting period. That waiting period is to strengthen you to keep going, to be bolder in your pursuit, to not give up. That's what the trials are for, is to make you tough enough to hang in there. But we want to give up. We want to give up. We want to give in. She said, Lord, you got to help me. And then Jesus, it gets worse for her, it appears to us. He answered and said, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. If somebody called you a dog, not only called you one, but insinuated that you were in the classification or the group of dogs, you would be angry about that. That would be enough for you to say, okay, that's about the third time that I have pursued God, and this is the third time it gets worse. He's comparing me to the animals.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But she said, Lord, I don't care what you call me. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you compare me to. Even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. How badly do you want the Lord to save your children? How badly do you want the Holy Spirit in your life? How badly are you willing to endure tribulations? Are you willing to be humble and allow God to take you through the trials of life in order that you might get just crumbs? Because crumbs is a banquet in Jesus. How desperate are you? How determined are you? How bold are you? Ellen White tells us that there are prayers that are not answered because we're not persistent enough. We give up too soon. Because we're haughty. We think we're all that. And what Jesus was trying to do is get this woman to get her mind off of who she was, who she is, and think in terms of what she really needed and how much she really wanted it. Jesus was testing her. We fail the test all the time. Because we want convenience. We want ease.
Yes, yes, Lord.
So she said, I'll take the crumbs that the dogs get.
Yeah, give me that.
If that's flowing from your table, Jesus, I'll take the crumbs. I don't have to have a house on the hill. I don't have to have a Mercedes Benz. I will take a Ford Escort.
Whatever it takes
for me to be saved, for my family to be saved, my sisters, whatever it takes, I'll wear clothes from the Salvation Army, whatever it takes.
Yes, Lord.
This woman had her priorities straight.
Yes, Lord.
We don't have the kind of priorities that she has. Then Jesus answered her and said, oh, woman, great is your faith. We don't make it through the test because we give up so early. The pressures on our women and mothers today are greater than ever. It's got to be one of the toughest jobs in the world. And I think all ladies would agree with the statement that that the expectation on women is high. But the mother in our text had a daughter, demon-possessed, cancer and sickness, hard to deal with, but at least they have names. But when our children act up and we can't put a name on it, that's difficult.
Yes, Lord.
But she knew that the answer was in Jesus. So I encourage every one of you, whatever you will ever face, it has to bow down and submit to Jesus.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Whatever trial you face,
yes, Lord.
It has to go by Jesus. Because nothing is impossible. Nothing. We see the scripture where it says, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts.
Yeah.
We don't believe that. Because we're still trying to figure it out. We're still trying to figure out what God is going to do.
My Lord.
But it's not for you to figure it out.
Yes.
It's for you to do what God has asked you to do, for you to be bold and desperate. Because we know what we're doing is not working. Because like everyone else, we need to exhaust whatever means God has given to us until the waiting time is over. She saw compassion in Jesus, and that's why she stayed with him. She didn't go away on the first problem. That's why she stayed. She saw the compassion in him. And we've seen the compassion in him. We've seen his promises. She believed in his ability and willingness to help. She saw in Jesus the salvation of her daughter's condition. She was determined. She refused to leave until she got what she came for. Hallelujah. Now, I know some of you are struggling with some things out there. You've got some demon-possessed daughters or demon-possessed situations, demon-possessed diseases. Demon-possessed bank account. Yeah, he's a liar. But we have become resigned to whatever comes. I'm not going to make too much effort. Whatever is easy, we want the easy way of life. We want the easy way of doing things. But God is calling for a bold people. Persistent people.
Yes, Lord.
I didn't say nasty, bad attitude. That's not persistence. But someone who's possessed with the joy of the Lord, but look in the eye of the enemy and say, "You ain't stopping me." I'm not going to be stopped. I'm going to continue on this road of salvation for my children, of salvation for a lost world. And you know what? That definition of children may be your neighbor's child. That definition of children may be the children that attend the church school, or it may be anyone that God puts in your purview. That's the definition of children. So what are you giving up on? What are you pursuing? What are you determined by God's grace that you're going to be persistent, that you're not going to give up? That the prayer, my prayer, God is waiting to answer. If I only hang in there and persist.
Thank you, Lord.
What are you going to do? Have you been like me and you haven't really used God's resources to the fullest? Have you? It's time to stop that. It's time to end that. It's time to take hold. God will do, you know, we like to make excuse about this being the end times and, oh, well, you can expect that. This is the end time. No. Mm-mm. No. I don't care how much of an end it is. God did not design that we would lose our children. God did not design that our churches would be empty. It doesn't matter how end it is. God has promised that he's going to do some miraculous things in the end times. But we're using the end times as an excuse for bad things. Well, God wants to reverse that.
Hallelujah.
He wants to, I don't care if it is the end times. I don't have to have a president like Donald Trump. God can use somebody else.
Yes, Lord.
But we make excuses. We make so many excuses for our lack of activity for our willingness to do what God wants us to do. I'm tired of making excuses. I want to be bold. I want to be determined. I want to be fierce. I want some of what was in my mama. I want some of that in me. I want to move forward by God's grace. And if that's your prayer, is that your determination this morning, I invite you to stand with me, because I'm standing to be determined, to be bold and persevering. And by God's grace, those five knucklehead children that I have, I'm determined that they and their children will be saved in the kingdom. I'm determined that I want to see my mother again, and I want to take my children up there with me. I'm determined I'm going to be a force for God. And for some of us women, it may mean you may have to go back to school. You may have to sharpen your tools a little bit. Christianity, as I said, it's not a spectator activity. You're an army. Because we're at war. Yes. Let's be soldiers and understand the reason we exist. Don't let your children, don't let your young people grow up not understanding why they're here. To get a good job and make money, that's not why they're here. God has a specific plan and purpose for each and every one of our lives. And by God's grace, I'm yielding myself today to get some of them crumbs. I'll be a dog for Jesus. Lord Jesus, you see my brothers, my sisters, on this Mother's Day weekend, on this parenting weekend. And I was talking to my sisters, but Lord, there's some fathers in here that need to be persistent. There's some fathers in here that need to be bold and persevering, where they won't allow anybody to strip their influence on their children. I pray for them too. But Lord, we give ourselves wholly over to you. Please, Lord. Please, Father, take control. Take all the ideas out of our minds that conflict with yours, with your calling for us. We dedicate and we consecrate ourselves to you. And we do this in the mighty name of Jesus. And for his sake we pray. Let the church say, glory to God. Amen.